God's going to ask us when we get there. What'd you do with all your free time? Ha! What free time, Lord? Don't you know it's March Madness? Luke chapter 1. As I'm beginning my New Testament, my Luke study over the last couple of days, I came across a passage of Scripture, this phrase that has touched my heart for years and years. And I hope and pray tonight might be a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 1, verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." I said, my goodness, what in the world is he talking about? This is his introduction to the gospel. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Have you ever been to a place where you didn't know what to say? Perhaps you're in a hospital setting or a funeral home. Often there are circumstances that make conversation difficult, if not awkward. The Bible gives us some instruction on how to handle those situations. The Bible says in verse number 2, ministers of the word. So my message tonight is how to be ministers of the word. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and ask that you guide and direct, that you administer the word of God to us, Lord, this evening. I pray for Jim Smith and his family, the homegoing of his wife. Thank you, Lord, for those that went to Albany, had a chance to support and encourage Jason McGuire and New Yorkers Constitutional Freedom and our missionaries to our politicians. Thank you, Lord, that Mary's here tonight. I pray you'd continue to be with her. And again, Lord, we pray for our nation, pray for our community, we pray for our church, and ask that you would, again, open your word to us tonight. Bless our hearts, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. How to minister the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're going to have to stay up with me. I only got 35 minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. How to minister the word of God. First, in brokenness and humility. How to minister the word of God in brokenness and humility. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, you know preachers that, you know, slobber and spit and they stomp all over the pulpit and they make a show and they think the power of God is in the show. Not really. The power of God is not in the show. It's in him. It's in the word of God. Verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." I can talk this way because Edie's not interpreting for me. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest," where? The life of Jesus might be manifest in us. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest," where? "In our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed." How often? Do you believe that? Good, then live it. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And we can look at 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians chapter 3. There's an all lot of passages of Scripture that talk about being broken and being humble. That's the beginning of how to minister the Word of God. I didn't say preach the Word of God. I said minister the Word of God. There's a difference. Number two, how to minister the Word of God. First, in brokenness and humility. Second, keeping the right focus in view. Keeping the right focus in view. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep the right focus in view. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Pause. He's talking about people. Some people are so focused on the paper, they forget the people. Ye are our epistles. Mary, your name is written on my heart. That's what the Bible says. Written in our hearts. Known and read of all men. Now, some people put Bible verses on their lawns thinking that's going to convert somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't have anything written in your heart for that person, your Bible verse is meaningless to your neighbor. Oh, the Word of God doesn't come back void. It sure does if you act like a donkey. I mean, seriously? Known, written in our hearts, for as much as we are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, notice, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You know how you minister the Word of God? Through your heart. Through your heart. Having the right focus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians is a great book. Not only does it talk about the second coming, but it really gives some incredibly practical tools on how to live the Christian life and how to minister the Word of God to others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, last two verses, 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Great question, isn't it? What is your joy? Paul answers it. Are not even ye? You know what my joy is as a pastor? Ye. Or they say in the South, y'all. That's what the joy is. It's in others. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? And if you didn't get it the first time, look at the last verse. For ye are our glory and joy. You might say, well, people are pain. Have you ever looked at yourself lately? I was just telling my friend the other day, I've known a guy 35 years plus, and often I say to him, we're a bunch of weird ducks, aren't we? And he says, yep. And we've been friends so long because we realize that we're both weird. But we accept each other's weirdness. So we can be friends that long. Everybody's a weird duck. You're a weird duck. I'm a weird duck. And so the Bible says, ye are our glory and joy. It's really quiet in here. Could that be said in your home? I mean, really, if I were to listen to the tapes that your walls listen to, what would they say? Number three, how to minister the Word of God. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. How to minister the Word of God. So first, in brokenness and humility. Second, keeping the right focus in view. Third, serve in spite of the cost. Serve in spite of the cost. Romans 15, verse 25 says, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. That word minister is the word serve. And if you go into any dictionary, you look up the word serve, you can get anywhere from 15 to 35 different definitions for the word serve. It's kind of like the word wait. Some people think waiting means to do nothing. Well, as far as I know, every time I go to a restaurant, a waiter or a waitress is never doing nothing. They're always doing something. Job chapter 2, you're familiar with the passage, I'm sure. Serve in spite of the cost. Serve in spite of the cost. Job chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 13, you know the story. How Satan came to the Lord and Satan was looking for a pawn. Satan was looking for an example. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And God gave Job into the hands of Lucifer, Satan, in these incredibly difficult trials and tribulations in his life. Verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Neamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. You know what it means to minister the word of God? It means to mourn and to comfort. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground. How many days? 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Have you ever done that? I'll never forget the phone call Cindy and I got a couple of years ago. Five bullets, five shots. Five people, three dead instantly, one dying on the way to the hospital and one clinging for life. And one was my best friend's daughter. What do you do? What do you say? So I got a plane ticket, left, showed up 8:30 that morning. McDonald's breakfast. Difficult time. Matthew chapter 25 gives another example from the mouth of the Lord. How to serve in spite of the cost. How to serve in spite of the cost. Took me a year to pay off that airplane ticket. A year. Matthew 25, verse 35, for I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then said he unto them, answered them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. You ever ask yourself the question, how can I minister the word of God to somebody? Number four, how to minister the word of God. Let Christ minister through you. Let Christ minister through you. 1 Corinthians 13. You all know what that chapter is about. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians 13 is one of those chapters that gets an awful lot of press and it's completely misrepresented. Y'all think it's on love, right? Love is self-serving. Just look at all the tabloids. Just look at all the, you know, you go to Walmart or Wegmans or Tops and you look at those end cap newspapers and those things that they sell. Risking it all on love. Have you seen that? Yeah, right. You're risking it all on love. No, you're not. It's all self-serving. The motive you have is selfish. The Bible doesn't say love in 1 Corinthians. It says charity. Just like the fruit of the Spirit is not self-discipline or, that's right, self-control. It says the word temperance. And there's a huge difference between temperance and self-control. Temperance is spirit control. Charity is love given to you from God, not love generated through you. So 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these must be faith. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Isn't that what the Bible says? So then how in the world could it be that the greatest of these is charity? Good question. And you can't minister the word of God without Christ ministering it through you. 2 Thessalonians, if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We moved to Kansas City a few years ago, and we realized that Midwest is not the same as East Coast. And we realized that we weren't getting any brownies from our neighbors. So we decided to bake them brownies. Think about that for a minute. We didn't get any cookies to welcome us, probably because we had a New York license plate. I get that. I do. But sometimes we have to be charitable to other people. God wants to minister through us. And we all have examples that God has allowed that to happen in our lives, and praise God for that. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let Christ minister through you. You know, there'll come a time in your life when there's going to be a need, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the church family, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever it might happen to be, and God brings an opportunity to your door, right to your lap, and the first reaction that comes to your mind, to your heart, to your will is, no way. You know what that is, don't you? That's self. Impossible. Not going to happen. And the Holy Spirit of God starts warming you up a little bit on the inside. First Peter 4:8. And above all things have fervent Above all things. This isn't Paul, this is Peter. Above all things. We should probably pause to say, what is Peter going to say? Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man, what? Minister, serve, wait on others, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for how long? Forever and ever. Amen. So God wants to minister the word of God through you. That's also defined as by your fruit. You shall know them. Number five, how to minister the word of God. Matthew chapter 20. These are just a smattering. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But sometimes I think we think that the only time we can do anything with the word of God is back here or up here. No, that's not true. The majority of the Word of God ministry takes place there, takes place in your hands, in your lap, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your extended family. How to minister the Word of God. The Spirit of God blesses sacrifice of self. The Spirit of God blesses, I hate to use the word self-sacrifice, so I didn't. The Spirit of God blesses sacrifice of self. When we sacrifice self, God blesses. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Don't you see how ridiculously weird and turned upside down this is? The Jews were looking for a conqueror. They're looking for a king. And Jesus faked them out, didn't he? I'll wash your feet. No king does that. Ephesians chapter 6. The Spirit of God blesses sacrifice of self. I had somebody say to me years ago, this wasn't a compliment. He said, you're really a blue-collar worker trying to be a white-collar guy. I thought about that for a minute. Was he trying to say that because I'm willing to move chairs or sweat outside that I'm just a blue-collar guy trying to be a white-collar person? Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Pause. We are all servants of Christ. We're all the body of Christ. Verse 7. With good will. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I'll do anything in the church but do toilets. That's not what that verse says. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Is there any job that's too low for you? Shouldn't be. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Spirit of God blesses sacrifice of self. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Who said that? One of the greatest Pharisees who ever lived, Paul the Apostle. Number 6, how to minister the Word of God. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 2, how to minister the Word of God, labor to prepare. Labor in order to be prepared. Now, most of us would think, study the shell thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's excellent. But I'm going to go someplace else. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. He's the potter, we're the clay, created in Christ Jesus to sit and soak. No, it says unto good works. Our life groups right now are talking about the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. What would happen had it not been for Ezra and Nehemiah? What would have happened? One person who had a burden, had a vision, they stood up and said, Lord, this is what you'd have us to do. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God ordains things for us to do that we can work and walk in them. So we need to labor to prepare. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, if you turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Labor to prepare. And that could be flipped. God might prepare us to labor. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, a very practical, very useful passage. Verse number 3 and 4 talks about suffering and what it's for. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So where should your comfort come from? The God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us when? In all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Meaning, been there, done that. And if you have, you have the right to say something, right? You've kind of earned the right to do something like that. I remember seeing a video clip about a veteran who was in a veteran's hospital who had to go get his leg amputated. And he woke up from surgery, and this particular soldier was irate. He was livid. He was enraged. And he was going off on the doctor. The doctor showed him his two prosthetic legs that he was standing on himself. Medical surgeon who lost his own legs. He said, I know what you're going through. Shut that guy right up, didn't it? Yeah. How could you understand? I understand. I understand real well. Hebrews chapter 6, if you turn there. Hebrews chapter 6. Labor to prepare. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do we minister the word of God? by ministering to the saints. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. I got one more point and I'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Wait a minute. Paul is saying to a church, I remember your work of faith. I remember your labor of love, and I remember your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, how to minister the Word of God. Know the difference between surgery and recovery. Know the difference between surgery and recovery. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 16 begins, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid unto me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I can almost remember the day and the place when that portion of scripture struck me in a way it's never struck me before. Paul is talking about preaching the gospel. That's the context, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And growing up as a believer, after I got saved in a church that knew how to preach the gospel, I could have been very easily manipulated. I could have been a bad attitude Baptist. And yet, that portion of scripture reminds us that there's surgery and recovery. Surgery is preaching. The rest of the passage has nothing to do with preaching. I became all men so that I might save some. What does that mean? That means some people become correction officers to witness to correction officers. Some people are nurses so they can minister to medical professionals. Some people are teachers so they can minister to the teachers and students. See what I'm saying? God gives us a gift and a talent and a career so that we might be able to use our influence in that culture to win people to Christ. Try preaching at your benchmate every single day. Dave, how does that work? Try preaching to your neighbor every single day. How does that work? It doesn't work. But if you minister the gospel, you might get some results. Preach to your family every day, your lost relatives. How's that working for you? It doesn't work very good, does it? No, you have to minister to them. That's what we're talking about. Ministering the word of God. Your brother. Years and years and years of ministry. Praying that God would open that door. We're going to minister the gospel. That's different than preaching the gospel. We'll do that sermon soon. But we have to minister the word as well as preach the word. Preaching the word is the surgery. Ministering the word
is the recovery.
Now that made me real excited when I saw that. But the thing that excited me the most was Romans chapter 15. If you would turn there. Now you know Romans is the book of salvation. It's the doctrine of redemption. So Paul is laying out his legal thesis here on salvation and sanctification and consecration. And in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren," he's talking about the church in Rome, "that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren," now when Paul says that, you know, he kind of sets them up. He gives them a positive compliment and then says, "Nevertheless, brethren," I mean, "this is one thing about you that I enjoy, that I like, that I appreciate. However, let me just, if I could, share something else. I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, preaching the gospel of God." Is that what that says? Hello? Is that what that says? It doesn't, does it? Now we know that Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." But that's not this sermon. We'll get there, I promise. Preaching the word. But here, Paul doesn't use that word. He says we're going to minister the gospel to the Gentiles, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I'm saying that there are opportunities for both preaching the word of God and ministering the word of God. And the same people that are lost need both. But they might not need it at the same time or in the same way or in the same set of circumstances. My next door neighbor, Mr. and Mrs. D, our nice Catholic neighbors, ministered and prayed and prayed. And whenever there was an open door, try to put in the gospel. Try to put in the gospel. When the shuttle blew up, was that 1986? Mr. D was in the hospital with cellulitis. Went to the hospital. His wife, Mrs. D, was in the hospital. And we're looking at the horrific pictures. And the Holy Spirit said, "Now." I said, "Mr. D, have you ever thought and this was a perfect opportunity to present the gospel?" Well, Mrs. D went ballistic. She was not happy that I'm witnessing to her husband. Not happy at all. In fact, she went stark raving mad, yelling and screaming around her husband's hospital room because he was listening. He's paying attention. She noticed that the word of God was getting in there, that this might have been his day. But his wife wouldn't permit it. Sure.
Sometimes you may not realize it, that how your life is affecting your neighbors, what they're watching or listening to. They loved our children, and they watched them all the time. They got the biggest kick out of them. This one day, I was just making my dinner, and the kids were out playing in the backyard. But Jana was singing, as she often did. She was a good little singer. And she was on the swing, and she was just singing "Our Great Savior." And they both kind of came over to the fence. They saw me in the kitchen, so I came out to see what's going on. They're like, "How does she know that song?" They recognized the tune as a Catholic tune for "Our Great Savior," but different words. They had another name for it. But then she came over and sang it to them. So she was able to minister, and I never said, "Now we're going to practice a song you're going to sing for the neighbors." It just happened, and they were so blessed by that.
Amen.
One more verse, Acts 6. Acts 6. We began in Luke chapter 1 talking about ministry of the word. Acts chapter 6. The context is the church in Jerusalem. Start at verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. These were church members. Some were located in Greece. Others were located in, quote unquote, the promised land, because their widows, both the Grecian Hebrews and the Jewish Jerusalem widows, were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they're looking for people to be able to shepherd the flock. Verse 4. But we, the disciples, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So when you go to a hospital bed, you go to a funeral home, you don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. But you do have to have the Word of God available to minister the Word of God to where they are at that point. I'm not saying you can't lead somebody to Christ. I did it often in the hospital. But I ministered the Word of God to them. There's a difference between preaching the Word of God and ministering the Word of God. And I hope and pray this has shown us the attitude difference. Ministering the Word of God is often one-on-one. It's often a listening, responding type of exchange. It's a form of communication. It's a form of dialogue. Preaching is usually one-sided. One person speaks and you sit and listen, or stand and listen, or whatever. But when you minister the Word of God, there's usually a dialogue, conversation taking place where you're listening and saying, Lord, would you give me the words that are necessary now? That's why it's titled How to Minister the Word of God. Let's pray, could we? Lord, perhaps there are some here this evening that have experienced a saint of God that has been there for them. Either like Job's friends, have sat in silence in a hospital room, or held their hand in a funeral home as they're picking out a casket. Or have gone over to an empty apartment or an empty house where a widow doesn't even know what to do. She doesn't even know the first things. And her good friend comes over and ministers to her heart, to her soul, and to her spirit. Maybe there's somebody at work that comes to you and says, my wife is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. A buddy that you play ball with has shared with you he has been terminated at his job. He's been laid off. Doesn't know what he's going to do. Your neighbor who's been watching you for years and years confides in you. He needs prayer. Lord, these are real life scenarios. These are relationships that we've built up with people. And they come to us in a moment of need, in a moment of crisis. And how I pray that you'd prepare us to be ready to minister the word of God to their need, to their heart, to their soul, to their spirit. God, I pray that we would ask you for opportunities on a daily basis, that you might bring us in contact with somebody who needs the word of God ministered to them. God often will answer that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder tonight. Use the word of God to change us. Allow the word of God to change others through our ministry to them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.